Welcome back to another broadcast. You know, in relationships can be very strong and relationships can be insecure. There are people who struggle with relationships they have with other people. Maybe it's because in the past there have been people that they loved or trusted and one day finally rejected them. Maybe you're a woman and you're hearing my voice and you were involved in a marriage and you gave yourself to an individual wholeheartedly. It went for a number of years and finally you found out that they became interested in somebody else. And now you're finding yourself alone and it's been very difficult for you. Or maybe you're a man and you're hearing my voice and you might be in the workplace right now, or you might be in your apartment or your home or in your car, and you can look back and see that probably one of the most difficult times of your entire life is when somebody decided that they didn't love you anymore. Or maybe you were not married and you were raised in your family and your parents had a different view towards you and you didn't measure out how they liked, and maybe you disappointed them with sin, or maybe you couldn't become the model or role that they wanted, and finally they just pushed you away and told you that they really didn't need you anymore, they didn't want you to come around anymore. And things like this are devastating. One thing I can say is that this will never happen between you and God. Which leads us to the topic of our discussion today. We've been seeing that I'm acceptable to God because God is love. And I'm asking myself, how long will God love me? And we see that God doesn't change. He's the Lord, He changes not. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Then we saw our sin isn't going to keep God from loving us because His wrath and anger has already been appeased by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But then we still ask ourselves, well, how long will He love me? A passage of Scripture that will answer that question, and a passage that many people hold dear to themselves, is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In relationships we've had with people, there have been other people, there have been events, there have been maybe successes on their part or failure on our part that has come between us and them, and the relationship was dissolved. And we can be assured from Scripture that that will not happen to us and our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Now this passage is normally shared as we're going through difficult time, knowing that God will always be present with us. But as we put Scripture together with other Scripture, we can see that God will always be with us because He always loves us. His presence will always be there. He'll always be reaching out to us because there's nothing in heaven or earth that's going to separate us. And then, as we just saw, He declares He will never leave us. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And this scripture shows that God's love is an everlasting love. But if we look at the verse, it says, "Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." When did God love me with this everlasting love? God loved me with his everlasting love before I ever existed. I like to share this. When I'm preaching, I'm on a platform, and if you don't know me, I'm kind of dramatic when I teach or preach, and I like to illustrate, and sometimes I illustrate pictorially. I'll get on one side of the platform. I'll show, well, this is where I trusted Christ as Savior, and did God start loving me here? And I'll say, well, no, so let's back up. Let's back up to where, how about when I was born, did God love me? No, well, let's back up further. And then I see the cross. Did God start loving me here? The answer is no. I back up further until I all keep walking backwards until I get to the beginning of time where God says, let there be light. Did God start loving me here? The answer is no. When did he start loving me? In eternity past. In eternity past, God started loving me because he already knew what his plan would be. He already knew that mankind would fall into the deep despair of sin and that he would come as a man, live sinless, die on the cross, offer his blood as an acceptable sacrifice, appease his own wrath towards sin, and then be able to save us once we call upon him. And when did God begin loving me? In eternity past. So then what I really like to illustrate is that God said, let there be light, and he's waiting to get to where I'm born and then where I get saved. And God goes through the Adam and Eve stage. He goes through Noah in the ark stage. He goes through Abraham. And then we're going through the timeline and we get to where Jesus is on the cross. And then we go 1,000 years. Then we go 2,000 years. And then we go to the mid-1900s where Tony Fusco is born. And then we go to November 9th, 1979. And God has been working to draw me to him with his everlasting love. And finally, on November 9th, 1979, I cry out to him and ask him to be my Savior. And now he can interact with me and I can interact with him. And finally, I get to experience his love and he gets to experience my love. He's been waiting. He's been waiting for seeming all eternity past and all through these 6,000 years of time to get to the point where I can be in a relationship with him. It wasn't based on what I've done. It wasn't based on my good abilities or my bad abilities. It's based on what God is. And what is God? God is love. You know, when God loves us, or even us loving others, love causes us to look past people's sin and continue to love them. I remember as a little boy, my grandfather was a drunk. You know, a drunk being always in a stupor, not bathed, kind of what you'd see at a rescue mission. That was him. He held down a job for a period of time. He was a janitor at the local junior high. He lived over top of a bar. He stunk. He used to be an electrician for the railroad. And many years ago, he was working on a section of the rail that was supposed to be turned off, him and the crew that he worked with. And the power was supposed to have been off. And while he's working, he leaned his head back and his head hit a high tension wire with high voltage, and fortunately he wasn't killed, but he was shocked badly. He lost the hair on the back of his head, probably about a 4-inch oval on the back of his head. When he fell, he went into shock, and a man took a pair of side cutters and broke out his front teeth to grab a hold of his tongue to keep him from swallowing his tongue when he was in shock. And then he was at a local hospital, and where the voltage went in his head and came out of his leg had become infected and they had to amputate it. And if my memory's right, I believe it was his right leg. So here's this guy with a wooden leg with this big gaping bald burn spot on the back of his head, no teeth, alcoholic, stinky man was my grandfather. You know, he's the only grandfather I had. Other grandparents I really didn't know, and some had died before I was born. So I'd go hunt him out, and I'd see him at the junior high, and him and I would talk because I loved him. And then one day I was in homeroom, and I hear my name called across the broadcast system, and they said, would Tony Fusco please report to the industrial arts office? Well, you know, that's down in the shop area. So I leave my homeroom, I go down to where the metal shop is and the wood shop, and that's where industrial arts is. And so when I get down to the industrial arts area, the principal's standing outside of this classroom waiting for me. And so I walk over and I say, well, yeah, what does somebody want? And they said, well, your grandfather's in there, you need to go get him. And what had happened was he got relatively tuned in the night before, and I guess he didn't finish his duties of work, and he took off his wooden leg and he was in there sleeping. So I go into this classroom with all my teenage peers standing there snickering, laughing, thinking it's the funniest thing. And I go over and I get him up and I put my arm around him and I grab his arm, put it around my neck. I say, come on, Grandpa, let's go. And so I walk him out. Was I embarrassed? Oh, you better believe it. Was I humiliated? That's more like it. Did I hate it? Yes. Did I love him? I sure did. He's the only grandfather I ever had. And we had a relationship. And because I loved him, I was able to look past some things. The things I looked past, I hated. But I loved him. And there's things about you and me that we've done. And it's going to cause God to look past them. He looked past them to call you to him so you'd trust him as Savior. And if you look back at your early Christian life, there were things you still did as a young Christian that you wouldn't even think of doing today, but yet you did them, and yet he still loved you. And once again, we're not condoning sin, because in God still loving us, he's reaching out to help us overcome those sins, because those sins are going to hurt us. And he loves us so much, he doesn't want them to hurt us. And how long has he loved me? He's loved me with an everlasting love. And nothing's going to come between him and us to stop him from loving us. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. But even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not just a salvation verse. It showed that when we were lost and dying in the world, he loved us. And according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, when we were dead in sins, what did he do? He loved us. God's love is an everlasting love. Remember, it's not based on what you've done. It's not based on what you haven't done. It's not based on what you are. It's based on what God is. And God cannot stop loving you. The reason he cannot stop loving you, it's because he is love. And if he stopped loving you, that's if he could. If he could stop loving you, and he did, he would cease to be God, because God doesn't change. So therefore, what he is what he will always be. So if you're struggling today, guess what? He loves you. If you're victorious today, he loves you. If you've tuned into this broadcast and you are so far away from God, and your life is so deep in sin, and you don't see any way back, and you're asking yourself, does he want me? With tears coming down his face, he wants you, because he loves you. So until the next time, God bless.